Alrighty, folks, thanks for joining us here. It's the General Knowledge Podcast. Today, I'm rejoined by our overseas compatriot, Mr. Vinny Eastwood, coming in from New Zealand, joining me for another chat again. We had him on for the season finale of Season 5, but we are in Season 6 now, powering away. It's the new year, Sunday, the 21st of January, and oh my God, it's only we're 3 weeks into this year, and it's chaos already. Vinny, how are you, brother? Thanks for being able to come on for a quick chat, mate. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. You get this news that you've now got a conviction for standing within 2 meters of another person. And you think about framing it, because that seems pretty cool, right? And 28 months it was since being arrested protesting lockdown to getting off, as it were. The New Zealand court system loves their foreplay, of course, and of course how all our children got here, myself and Billy got a discharge with conviction. Now that means essentially we've been let go without any actual punishments. You know, we don't have to serve our 3 and 4 month prison sentences, which is you know, kind of ideal. You know, you don't expect to spend months in prison for standing within 2 meters of another person, but there you go. That's New Zealand for you.
So that's that. Just take us back a little bit, because obviously there's videos and things, and you've got on your website there over at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, the day democracy died. You've got that little picture there. You know, people can click through and have a look at that sort of stuff. So basically, just to the listeners, just give us a quick recap on what actually happened.
Okay, so New Zealand, like the rest of the world, had been embroiled in a whole bunch of lockdowns that had caused a significant harm to people, suicide, losing their businesses, losing their homes, homicide, marriages breaking up, spousal abuse, and things of this nature, which is what happens when you put herd animals in isolation. And we knew that when the government called a snap lockdown. I think we had like about 6 hours notice. You know, Prime Minister comes off, we're going to get a lockdown tonight! Yeah! And then walks off the stage. And that kind of freaked a lot of people out, and we thought, well, we have to actually protest this, you know, officially. So we called up the police, told them we were going to do a protest, and went down there. I think we got about maybe 45 minutes of people's speeches in there before Billy was taken. And then I was taken, and they kept us in solitary confinement for, I think, about 28 hours. Isn't that interesting? 28 hours in solitary confinement and 28 months of a court thing. I only just realized this now. Now, unfortunately, on the case, there may be a little bit of audio hissing, so I'm not sure exactly what we can do about that in present moment, but I digress. Now, the shock came to me when I realized that I was facing 3 charges, one of organizing a protest, one of attending a protest, and one of remaining silent in custody. Constable Derek Chung gave us, I think, a warning after we didn't give him our cell phone passwords. Now, the cell phone I had from the police, I got it back, but I had to get a new one anyway, so that's in disuse. And Billy's cell phone didn't even have a password. You know, it's one of those ones you just swipe up and it just unlocks. So when Constable Derek Chung asked him for his password and he says it doesn't have one, he charged us with up to 3 months prison for breaches under the Search and Surveillance Act. And so our phones were sent to Criminal Investigation Bureau. When we asked for them back, they said, oh, no, we're actually going to have to send them down to all the way to Wellington, and we're going to have to try and crack them there. And of course, in that particular bureau of the police, they've got their most experienced people. They're smartest, the most highest trained, best paid, the greatest minds that the New Zealand police can bring together. They kept my phone for 9 months. Not 3, 9. And when I got it back, I checked the login information, which showed who was using the phone and for how long. And it took them approximately 8 months to crack the password on my phone. The password was 123456. Now, I don't want to call the New Zealand police stupid or anything.
I mean, that's literally the second one you would try. You would first try all zeros, and then you would try 123456. Like, surely that's what everyone would do. So they're lying. They're obviously lying.
Yeah, yeah. What one would expect. So, but the whole beef of it is, then we had to go to court, and Judge Peter Winter, I think it took us, we were on bail conditions when we got out. Cannot leave the home. This is in a lockdown, by the way. Cannot use the internet. Can't have a internet-capable device. And I believe we are forbidden from attending any kind of protest activity, right? So that was actually quite difficult, because when you're confined to home, they do what's known as bail checks. So you just get a knock on the door, shine a flashlight, oh, yep. You're home. And they would come at like 4 o'clock in the morning, or 11 o'clock at night, or 7 o'clock in the morning, something like that. That was quite of traumatic to go through, and we had to go through court maybe 4 times in order to get those bail conditions released at all. The police actually said that they didn't want to allow us to have access to the internet because it wouldn't curb our ability to spread anti-lockdown sentiment. That's a quote. So what we're dealing with here in New Zealand, and the people in Wellington found this out, because in New Zealand people don't refer to Wellington as Wellington. If they're talking about Wellington, they're talking about the protest. The protest of tens of thousands of people who went down there against the mandates and what have you, and huge amounts of sound cannons, EMF weapons, pepper spray, and jackbooted thugs with shields and riot gear to greet them and usher them all on. Now, of course, the tactic of these protesters when facing police violence was to chant peace and love and hope that they just go away. And they were shocked to discover that this tactic wouldn't work. And because, of course, when you're all full of hope and positivity, as everybody was down there, you don't listen to the cynical people who know what they're talking about. People like Constable Buck Rains, who I had on my show afterwards, he said he went to the leadership and he tried to tell them what the police are like, what the police are going to do, that he used to be one of them. They wouldn't listen to him at all. Right? So after me and Billy got arrested and went through all this court process and got sentenced to 3 months prison for me, 4 months prison for Billy, then we go into appeals, and the appeals take forever as well, and 28 months later it's discharged with conviction. You know, long story short. But when you say 28 months of prison hanging over you like this, that's inherently traumatic. And very difficult.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's done permanent damage, really. Much like the first time I got arrested when I was 19, I think, 20 years ago, for selling cannabis when I was in university. And that gave me complex post-traumatic stress, you know, panic attacks and things like that. Had a panic attack in the cell, didn't know what was happening to me. And ever since then, I've had this kind of real, I do not want to be here. And so in getting myself arrested, I was purposely getting myself into reliving the most traumatic time of my life. Now, what was different about this is that when I was 19, I didn't have an audience. I didn't have fellow talk radio show hosts all over the world who were willing to give me support. I didn't have donors or any of that kind of stuff. So going through this was way less traumatic than going through it the first time, because I sort of knew what I was expecting. And Billy's never been through this. You know, he's a former police officer, you know, former army, former firefighter, you know, that kind of thing. He's never been on the wrong side of the law before. So this stress really crushed him, like it crushed me the first time. But the thing about it was, you have to cultivate a sense of not caring, okay? Or rather, putting it out of your mind. Where are you?
Yeah, let it wash over you. Yeah.
Where are you? I'm right here. What time is it? It's right now. Is there a threat coming to kill me in the next 60 seconds? Nope. Take a deep breath. And you're back in reality. And so this was something that I had to do kind of regularly, because when you're feeling anxiety or fear about things in the future, those things aren't here yet. They're not actually affecting you per se in the real world. And so it really helped me to deal with the stress to think like that and practice those little resets sort of thing, as well as I always try to maintain a sense of humor out of all of this crap, you know?
We need to, yeah. Otherwise, you'll go insane. So fast forward to now. So now you've heard, you've obviously, they've gotten in touch with you, the court systems, and said, you've been, you know, no jail time, but you've got this conviction on your record. Is that correct now?
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to serve. So that's the end of it, yeah?
Well.
Or is there more to it?
I think that's the end of it. Gosh, I hope
it sounds to me, it sounds like it is.
Yeah.
Once they have that sort of thing.
That's what it feels like. You know, when my lawyer told me just over the phone, it was just before Christmas, you know, and I just burst into tears kind of thing. And it was this weight started coming
Thank
off.
Fuck.
Of me.
Yeah.
And I think what I did later is I went to a music festival called Resolution Music Festival. And what was interesting about this is I couldn't walk 50 meters in any direction without somebody yelling out, "Hey, it's Vinny, come over here." You know, I was like a celebrity there, you know, because it's just that kind of crowd. And I came to a realization about my show and the people who listen to it. And have you ever met somebody who's maybe a bit of a loner or what have you, but they're actually quite talented? They've got skills, and they're pretty bright, and they have a good sense of humor, and they've got stories to tell, you know, that are actually interesting and funny, right? That's like every listener to my show that I've ever actually talked to. I was like, well, hold on a second. This whole collection of people share these attributes, and they all listen to me.
I would say the same about my members. They're all like that too. I would say that's very, not to pigeonhole them, but yeah, I think you've nailed it. That's, a lot of them are like that. You know, they've got a lot to offer, but they're kind of quiet. You know, they only interact with you as a person, in your member groups and things. Because they don't feel like they can talk to everyone else in society, because they're kind of get, you know, not shunned and stuff, but they're not part of their brethren, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, it's not exclusive. Mm. The thing about it was I did this show called Truth or Coping Skills, and it got way more shares and way more likes than I usually get when I put up a post. And I was just like, man, is that what we're really tapping into here? Is that the reason why our audiences listen to us is because they feel really alone, and everybody tells them they're crazy and stupid, and now every time they hear us broadcast, they know they're not alone, they know they're not crazy, and they know they're not stupid, so it helps to keep their sanity, right?
It's a sense that they get a sense of emotional support, and to know, yeah, it's like helps their well-being in a sense, you know. Did you see, Vinny, I don't know if you did, but the most recent show we did for season 6, episode 1, by any chance come across that?
I'm afraid not.
We did it. No, so we did it last weekend, and it was with a gentleman, an author from the States called John Kerwin, and he's written a book called The Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide, a guidebook for persecuted truthers. And I just found it funny that you literally did a show very similar just recently as well. I thought that was hilarious, but well, very kismet. In fact, sorry, just to interrupt you, I mentioned you several times on the show when we were talking. I referenced you a few times, referenced a previous show we did with you, and because it came up in chat. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of when we just chatted to Vinny about so-and-so, and I brought it up on the show with him as well. I said, mate, you should probably get in touch with Vinny. It'd be good to have him on your show and all that sort of stuff, and vice versa. So I'll have to put you in touch with him.
You will have to. Like, here's the thing. Yeah. I don't necessarily watch people's shows anymore or go out and find these guests and what have you, but my listeners do. My colleagues do. They just say, hey, Vinny, this guy would be great to have on the show. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're talking about, but if if somebody who listens to my show recommends them, they've got to be good, right? My audience has this kind of credibility, right? They're yep. freaking awesome people. And I wonder as well, like, why it took us so freaking long to find each other, you know?
Yeah, I wonder the same thing too, because you've been doing this for how long now? Since 2006? Well, what is it? Remind the listeners how long you've been doing this for?
About 16 years at this point. I started off with a little iMac and a handy cam, and I went out and started filming protests, public meetings, editing them, uploading them. I think I did 700 videos in my first 2 years. And by the time I got deplatformed, I had 65,000 subscribers, 3 channels, and about 6,500 videos. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I probably would consider myself the most self-published activist that New Zealand's ever had, or probably in the conceivable future ever will have.
Yeah. I mean, until Billy came along and started doing videos and talking and stuff, because we were obviously getting that on our socials over here in Australia, I hadn't really heard of anyone else other than you coming out of New Zealand talking about anything alternative whatsoever. Whenever anyone mentioned New Zealand or anything happened in New Zealand, I was like, well, Vinny's the go-to. Like, you got to go check out what he's up to and what he's exposing and talking about. So there's no one else. Like, I've never heard of anyone else coming out of New Zealand.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is because I'm international in scope. When I think it was in 2010, the Vinnie Eastwood Show officially started. I was originally the co-host with an American on the Global Freedom Report, and he was the official host of the show, and I was just, you know, co-host. And they fired him and gave me the show.
Nice. Yeah. Not for him, but nice for you.
It turned out to be much nicer for everybody on the network, I'll tell you that much. Anyway.
Can we switch gears a little bit now? Obviously, yeah, we've caught up on Vinny and what's happening, and I'm glad to see that you've got that now. Obviously, you have to carry a conviction, of course, but at least you don't have that weight on your shoulders anymore. You're a bit more of a lighter person now. You can focus on a few different things and not have that to worry about, which is awesome. But mate, just happening, like I said at the start of the show, we're 3 weeks in to 2024 and it's freaking insanity already around the world. Like, the amount of stuff we're seeing. I mean, I did a quick show for my members talking about how the Epstein list drops, you know, with those court documents and things. I was like, I gave my impression of what I thought would happen with regards to that. And to be honest, a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, heads are going to roll. You know, there's going to be a lot of people going to get in trouble for this. You just wait. And I'm like, no, you don't know the public. If you're thinking that, you don't know the public. The public are so easily distracted. Anything, you can sway them because they control the media. The media, mainstream media, controls what they think. And, of course, if you're not exposing the Jeffrey Epstein list too much in the media, and then the media is not going out talking to these people that were in this list, having dealings with him, going to his island, blah, 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 then nothing's going to happen. You know what I mean? You're crazy if you think anything's going to happen to these people. It's business as usual. This list coming out, to me, in my opinion, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this too, this list coming out and the names being dropped in the list doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah. We found out 9/11 was an inside. Yeah, I mean, well, we found out 9/11 is an inside job. You know, the Building 7, freefall collapse, all that kind of stuff. We've got the proof. We know the USS Cole bombing was an inside job. We know that so on and so forth.
The first World Trade Center bombing was also an inside job. That was FBI with that guy. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many of them. Nothing happens.
Okay, and this is the thing. Because information does not change people's minds, Dr. Rima Lobo told me. Emotion changes people's minds. Now, if you want to change people's emotions, and you're you by yourself with a megaphone or a podcast, and you want to change the collective emotion of your country, you literally won't have enough eyeballs or pairs of ears looking at your message for it to actually have the overall impact that you're looking for. It'll have some impact. It'll send out a ripple effect. It'll make things change over owe so much, just a little. But what's problematic about it is that people think that they have to do it all themselves, you know, and you don't. You just have to play your part. Now, element here that we're looking at is in the waking up process. So if you're going out there and you're trying to wake people up, the information that's coming out, it could be about Epstein. It could be about the World Economic Forum or Agenda 2030. It doesn't really matter what it is. People have to be at a certain consciousness level to be able to absorb that information and or understand it, which means they've already probably spent 10,000 hours or more researching into things by themselves. That's 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 years. Okay, that's what all of us who've actually awoken have had to do to satisfy our curiosity. And now that we've gotten our degree, as it were, without mountains of debt that we have to pay off to criminal banks, we now know what we're doing with our life, who we want to be, and we don't have to pay back the debt associated with it. Instead, we carry the debt with us. Knowledge. Knowledge is a burden, and it will crush you if you take on too much of it at once. Like in Doctor Strange, when he comes to see the Ancient One, she says, if I told you all the innumerable threats you faced before you'd even experienced what this world is capable of, you would run screaming from this temple in terror. And that is true. A lot of the stuff that we deal with, like satanic pedophilia, is scary and even traumatizing to know what is going on, you know? And just an example of that, I remember Rachel Vaughan I had on my show. I think I had her on for nearly 4 hours or something like that. I did a whole 6-hour show. It was a great show, full of energy, full of fun, and we were talking about satanic pedophilia, okay? You know? For example, if I give you a 6-second snippet of how horrific this kind of stuff is, he used a curved blade to cut in between her vagina and her anus and raped the hole that he made. Okay, that was her father doing that, a doctor, a high-level Freemason. And that's just one snippet out of hours and hours and hours of horrific, scary kind of things that you don't really want to contemplate. Now, generally speaking, if I were to say to you and have you on a brain scan about your emotions being measured, right, and I say to you, boat, cucumber, murder, as soon as I say the word murder, that word's different, isn't it? You hear something, you feel something different when you hear that. When they've scanned psychopaths on this, they have no emotional response to it that can really be identified as different from a boat or a cucumber. They feel the same emotionally about it. This is how you have demons in human form. And I think that a lot of people, this is maybe ancient knowledge, wisdom, or maybe it was superstition or something like that, but there's probably demons amongst us wearing human suits. They've come here to cause havoc and wreak destruction because they feed off of it and they can't not have it. They must feed. Why do you think they do things that are so reckless, so horrific? Right? They're a cup that cannot be filled. This is what we call psychopaths and lunatic killers and things of that nature, which are not what they appear to be and not what you're looking at. And another thing Rachel Vaughan said to me that really kind of clarified things for me, when they were torturing her friend in one of these underground Masonic temples connected by tunnels and things like that in Adelaide, they managed to summon with a ritual a shade. All right. She saw from behind the column where the light was flickering, the shadow get up and start moving towards them into the light. And it was in the shape, I think, of Osiris. They pray to the old gods and they summon them here. And then she saw on the faces of these satanic pedophile killers something she'd never seen before. Fear. They were terrified of this thing that they had just summoned. And that's when it hit me. Why would they do such crazy things, horrible things and stuff like that and do it all the time? Because they know that the dark gods are real and they know what punishment awaits them should they fail their masters. Could you imagine knowing that demons are real and that you're working for them, and if you mess up, they'll punish you in eternity in worse ways than you've inflicted suffering on mankind? Wouldn't that be an incredible motivator?
Continue doing the evil deeds, yeah, for sure.
That's scary, isn't it?
Because people always wonder, what is it that makes these people do what they do? You're right, yeah. If when you expose that kind of things at that level, it makes you realize that they're almost working for another entity, or they've got to do it. Like, is it out of self-preservation for them, for their own evil deeds? Like, it's so mind-boggling, because we don't, us as regular people, good people, don't think like that. You know, we don't operate that way. It's bizarre. And it makes me wonder, because, you know, when people talk about, we mentioned psychopaths before, and how, you know, you could interview and psychologically interview these, like, CEOs of major corporations and politicians and stuff. And a lot of them, you're right, these people exhibit psychopathic qualities as well. You know, how do these people get into these positions of power?
Well,
is it because it's necessary to have them in that position of power? Well, or is it...
No.
It boggles the mind.
No. It's very simple. Most things that are very confusing are usually very simple if you boil it down. Let's say you've got three people. This is from a documentary called I Am Fishhead. All right, this is a really great documentary if you want to understand the psychopathic mindset. You got three people going for a top job. One of them's a psychopath. What they do is they start spreading rumors about the other two. And so by the time it comes for the promotion, these two have a huge cloud over their head, and so only one person gets the job, you see? And because there's such scumbaggery individuals, the scumbaggery sort of filters down, you know? It's like a thick tar that starts to tarnish the organization in and of itself, everybody underneath them. And again, that psychopath will take credit for everybody's ideas, okay? And so they advance even further and further and further. You'll be surprised what you can accomplish with just a little bit of scumbaggery, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've worked for people that, as in general managers of businesses and stuff, that, I don't know, they're different. They don't, you know, they're very two-faced, the way they talk about people and to you. And then when you realize they've been so nice to you, and then you find out from someone else that they've been talking about you behind your back, and it's the same, like you're saying, that's just the way they operate. It's just, I don't know, they're a different league of human being, I think. But it just annoys me that they seem to get into these positions of power, and like these are our leaders, our politicians. I mean, look at people like the ones that were responsible for locking us down, like Jacinda Ardern, and you've got your Dan Andrews in Victoria there, and all this sort of stuff. These people are different, mate. They don't operate like we do. Mm-hmm. And I think they are literal psychopaths, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the very best sociopaths at the very best. You know?
Yeah, I mean, this is why the establishment can rely on them, because psychopaths have lots of bad, dirty luggage that they carry with them. Anything that they could be exposed and what have you. If you're going into politics and you're squeaky clean, you're not going to go very far, because they
That's
won't be
right.
able to control you, and so they'll prevent you from getting in there in the first place, like Billy was, you know?
And that reminds me of how organizations, things like Skull and Bones, how they operate, you know, and these type of organizations where they're run in secrecy, and they're like brotherhoods and very sort of almost Freemasonic in a sense, but they've got to commit an act of some sort that the other members know about, because then if they do something wrong that goes against the organization, well, they've all got dirt on each other, you know what I mean? So they're all going to keep their mouth shut. That's how they operate. And like I said, like Skull and Bones did this out of Yale, you know, the, what was their number, 322 or whatever it is, or, there's multitudes of them. That's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of them. But that's how they all operate. They've all got to be compromised in some sort of way so that no one will turn against each other. And if it ever does, then they all go down. You know what I mean?
It's from the
it's going to be a sinking ship.
Well, it's from the time of Caesar. and Caesar was stabbed by all his confidants, right? All the people that were advising him stabbed him each once, right?
Was it Brutus or something?
I forget which. Maybe I'm mixing up stories here. But the whole idea was that we're all guilty together, so none of us can turn on each other, otherwise we'll all turn on you. Right, and I think to a similar degree, we should be practicing this technique in the truth movement with the opposite aim. I call it the phalanx principle. The phalanx was an ancient Macedonian spear and shield formation, maybe made famous by the movie 300, where small amounts of men could kill large amounts of other men without barely taking a scratch, because of their formation, holding a shield up and protecting the man next to you. Okay, is that way you don't have to watch your back. You've got somebody watching your back, and also if chariots are coming through, they all know how to move out of the way and then just stab the chariot as they move through, and then just come back into formation and just keep stabbing people who are coming at them. You know, just a brutal human war machine. And that phalanx principle of protecting the man next to you, as I apply it to the truth movement, is if anybody takes a fall or takes a hit, you know, that kind of thing, everybody just do something to get the word out or what have you. You know, I had to ask so many people around the world for help, just to get a little bit of exposure for my plight, because I couldn't rely on the New Zealand alternative media to do it for me. You know, it's been really sad.
Because you were the New Zealand alternative media. Who else are you going to rely on?
I mean, that was the thing. I remember Chantal Baker, she's the daughter of Leighton Baker, who ran the New Conservative Party, and now he runs the Leighton Baker Party. And she, in the 6 weeks that I was banned from the internet, she gained a bigger following on Facebook than I had gained in the 15 years, or what was it, maybe 14 years up to that point. Right, you know, people just came out of the woodwork as soon as these lockdowns happened, as soon as there was a left-leaning government, then alternative media started coming out. Because
I noticed that too.
Yeah, but these are all people who have only just started, all right, and they don't know what they're dealing with yet. They don't know what it takes and what the coping skills are that you need to in order to continue to run a show. In talk radio, even in mainstream, there's a metric for this. You have to have a very particular type of personality who can deal with it. I think it's like 90% of people who start a show don't last the first month. 90% of the people who make it through the first month don't last six. 90% of the people who last six don't make it a year. And then every year after that, 90% less, 90% less, 90% less. You see, you really...
Yeah. And you whittle it down to one or two that's still left going. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it has actually a higher attrition rate than Navy SEALs, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, really. And that's because of the unique personality that it takes. Now, what's problematic is because you have to have a bit of showmanship, all right, and maybe a bit of talent, you also have to have a good pair of ears on you, all right? And that's, I think, how you get longevity in talk radio. Is it shouldn't be called talk radio, it should be called listening radio.
Listening radio, yeah.
The more you listen to your guests, the more you learn, and the better you become as a talk radio show host. You know, it maybe didn't occur to a lot of these people that just shutting the hell up might have been the best idea they've ever had.
Well said. No, I completely agree. Yeah, exactly right. Well, let's we talked about these psychopaths and these Freemasonic pedophiles that seem to be gaining power everywhere. And I just noticed when I was flicking around Twitter just recently, or X. I can't call it X. Do you just still call it Twitter? I don't call it X. It just seems weird.
Yeah, it's just still Twitter to me. Yeah.
I can't do it. Yeah, I'll just call it Twitter. So obviously people know we mean X when we say Twitter, right? And one of the first things I saw, funnily enough, when you mentioned it, I saw there was someone put up a picture of a new Disney movie that's coming out. It's so wonderful. All these great Disney cartoon movies they bring out for children these days. Isn't it just lovely, Vinny? inclusive of all their Freemasonic pedophilia symbols and things that they include in them. You know, all the hidden messaging, you know. I might just... Am I able to screen share and just show you a quick image of this?
Go for your life, son.
Sure. All right, let me just show you this here. This is on Twitter for everyone to see. You can all let me know when it's on your screen.
And 3, 2, 1. It's there.
It's there. Okay, there we go. So this is a new movie they've got coming out. Elena of Avalor, Realms of the Joaquins or something it's called. And someone put this up and I was like, all right, here we go. What am I looking for? Am I looking for sex? Am I looking for, you know, images of penises? Or, you know, like, this is the things they include in their imagery, right? And then down, you've got down here, this cat with wings looking thing, right? It's sort of looking up towards, I don't know, almost looking up the girl's dress, to be honest. But it's also got symbols on its body. I'm not sure if I can zoom into this anymore, but it's got the little swirly symbol on that body, right? And I was like, oh, that looks like those... Oh, I just closed it by mistake. Oops. That looks like those pedophile symbols. The ones that the FBI brought out a while ago, before around Pizzagate, people were going crazy with these. There was the triangle with the little triangle in a triangle. There was the circle with a circle in a circle. There was a heart with the heart in a heart, you know. And all these symbols that people were like, well, these are, they know, the FBI knows that these are symbols relating to pedophiles, the way they say boy lover, girl lover, you know, all this sort of stuff. They've got their own language that they speak, their own code words, their own symbols that they use, right?
Or cults.
And
do.
That's right, exactly. This is how they communicate with each other secretly. But obviously these have been exposed now, but they're still in use. They're still using them. And Disney, as you know, I went through the feed on that image, and I'll try and find it again. I'll put a link in the show notes for people. If you go through the feed there, people kept putting up there were videos and other images, and it was headline after headline after headline. Pedophile ring exposed from Disney World. CEO of Disney World linked on pedophile charges. Secret place in, you know, children kidnapped in. It was over and over and over again. And it's not just from 10 years ago, from 5 years ago. Like, they're recent too. Like, it's still happening. Even after it's been exposed, it blows me away that it is still going on. Because I think it's obviously... it's allowed to continue. You know, there are areas within these, I think they've even classed the land that, I'm not sure if it's Disneyland or Disney World, one of them. Like the land that they're on, I think it's the one in Florida. I can't remember which one that one is. I'm not American, sorry guys, for the listeners out there. Even the state doesn't have power over the land that it's on. Like they could, it's almost this Disneyland or Disney World, one of them is like a country within their own country, within their own state. It's like the land they're on is owned by the particular corporation and stuff. And the state has, like, back in the day, gave away all their rights to being able to do anything on it. So they can do basically whatever they want with this land. Hence why they seem to have their own rules. I think the police that are around there are all involved in this sort of stuff too. Of course, I'm just making wild accusations here. But we all know that when they come in to arrest these people, of course, they've got to let a few heads roll. Once when too many know about it, they have their sacrificial lamb. They'll get rid of, they'll say, oh, yeah, we've uncovered this pedophile ring. We've got one of them. Yep, gone. They're in jail. We've got them. But that's just one small bit of it. You know what I mean? Like the main ring or the thing that's still running the whole thing, it's still an operation. It has never stopped. Same with like the whole Pizzagate stuff. You know what I mean? People think that all went away. I mean, they may have closed down Comet Ping Pong. I'm not even sure if it's actually closed. It might even still be operating. But these networks are still in operation. You know what I mean? They just shifted it. They went quiet a little bit. It's still going, folks. It hasn't gone away. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. New movies coming out. Sorry, back to my point. Even brand new movies coming out still show the imagery, still show the secret symbols in their posters, in their artworks and stuff. That's what I mean. It hasn't gone anywhere, guys. It's still here.
I do know that every time something's been exposed, the agenda just continues. Because the agenda's continuing because it's remaining secret, right? So, for example, in the truth movement, everybody knew about Pizzagate. Everybody knew about these symbols. Everybody knew about the FBI doing this, that, and the other. But the general public didn't know. And because the general public didn't want to know, for one, and they're too stupid to find out, for two, and the mainstream media didn't assist them by playing it across 1,000 different mediums 1,000 times a day to drum it into their thick heads that, hey, this is the new reality. You are controlled by pedophiles. Do you want to do something about it or not? Now, pedophilia is the perfect compromise position, even if you're not a pedophile. Let's say, for example, you're just a senator and you're having a fun time and these guys invite you up to a hotel room and they knock you out with drugs or whatever, and then they get a young girl that they've hired to sit on you, and then they take some pictures and they say, hey, we've got these pictures, now you have to do what we say or else. All right, that's what pedophilia basically gives the establishment. It gives them a one over on their own people. See, there we go. There's the symbols. Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly, that's right. It's about controlling people through even the threat of being labeled as something like that. That's exactly right. So I've just brought it back on the screen now for the members that are watching. The listeners won't get this, but I'll try and put a link in the show notes so you can check it out. But these are the symbols we're referring to here. I'll just close back out of that now. Someone's put up a picture saying, yeah, the same sort of symbols that's on the chairs that cover the chairs in their local hospital. Here we go. Remember Flight of the Navigator, Vinny? That would have been back in the day. Yep. Here we go. Look at the steps. It's the same pedophile symbol. Could be a coincidence, folks. Who knows? Look at this one here. It's within that. It's the overall symbol. It's within that same symbol. There's so many of them. Here we go. So someone's blown up, and this is what they're referring to. It's a little bit blurry because I've had to zoom in, but you know, there's some of the artwork there with on that animal that they were referring to on the poster. Just scrolling through here on Twitter so people can see, you know, the same swirls, all that sort of stuff. Like, people might think, oh, it's just innocent. It's just part of the artwork, you know. But no, this organization has been carrying the same symbols and these things and doing these things within, I'm sure you've seen them, Vinny, the old, you know, Mickey Mouse and cartoons from shit back in the 60s probably, when they showed, you know, things in the background of the cartoons with penises on the wall and all this sort of stuff, you know, the weird stuff they were doing. It was very hypersexualized for what it was back in the day. Here's another example, the symbols on one of the characters on the face, the swirl. This one blatant, look at the triangle symbol, we just showed that before. It's so blatant, mate. It is right in your face. These crazy, mate. So there you go. It's some people are putting up a few more examples of it, but I like this one. That's a good one, that one.
Just the tip of the iceberg.
That's right. So people who can't see this, they've got a picture of the Disney castle, but it's on like an iceberg. And yeah, when they show a picture of the iceberg, folks, and they have the bottom side of the iceberg is always bigger. Well, the underneath picture of this is Epstein's island castle looking thing with the blue and white stripes and the dome on top. Yes, that's what's underneath the water. That's very good. Someone made that one up. But yeah, you see what we're talking about here. This is just another example of it still happening. Brand new movies coming out. And the imagery is still there. So what is it actually saying? To me, this is like saying the people who are either responsible for these companies or in the higher-ups of these companies, it's they're messaging each other. It's all messaging, I think. You know, it's a way to let them know that, yep, this is our allegiance, this is our alignment. We're the boy lover, we're the girl lover, you know, we put it out there. But that's not the whole thing. It's also a little bit about putting it out there to the public in almost a subliminal fashion so that it becomes almost subconsciously accepted to a degree. There you go. I'll just scroll back up just so people can reference the ones we're referring to here. I think I can probably zoom in a little bit. That's not going to let me. There we go. So that triangle symbol within a triangle is the boy lover symbol. The heart symbol within a heart symbol is a girl lover. And then you got this more of a swirl one with a similar triangle shape is a little boy one. Hearts in the shape of a butterfly and stuff is child lover. There's all these little hidden symbols. That's only a couple of them. There's actually more to it than that. But I just wanted to reiterate for the folks out there that, again, this is still happening right now. I'll stop the screen share there, folks. Yeah, to this day, it has not gone away. It's still lingering. But I'll put the link in the show notes for the folks there to check out as well so they can see what I'm referring to. I'm sure everyone's seen them before, but I think it just... It helps to reiterate the fact that it's still happening to this day. Pizzagate, it's never gone away. All this sort of stuff, it's never gone away.
Yeah, and I think maybe people might need to have a little bit of a warning here. Looking into this stuff will traumatize you, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Irrevocably, okay? And you need to know that going in because nobody ever told me, you know? And so you got to have some certain coping techniques and certain things, you know. If you've got kids and then you're looking into pedophilia, you'll look at your kids a completely different way because you'll be like, oh, my God, I really have to protect them. They're so precious. They're so beautiful. And look at what these people do to them. And you might start freaking out and what have you. Don't freak out. Okay. Be calm. Breathe. It's not happening right here, right now, in this, and around you. It's just something that's happening out in society all over the place, in places that you haven't seen, in places that you haven't been. Okay? And it's been going on your entire life. You're just finding out about it now. Think about how you were feeling during the rest of your life. You were all right, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Because you didn't know this stuff existed. You're still all right, even if you know that it exists, because it's not happening to you at this particular moment. What that means is, though, if you feel really bad about it, you need to be doing something about it. And the reason why these people have been able to continue doing as they're doing and operating as they're operating is people don't want to talk about it because it's too scary, it's too disgusting, or something like that. And that's the that's the game of it, unfortunately.
Vinny, I just posted in the chat there. I still haven't got my audio sorted out yet, but you can play a video with audio for the listeners, can't you?
For Rizzle. So you'll have to...
Cool. If you want to do that, like I've sent the link in the chat there. It goes to Twitter, but it's a great little video there exposing what I was mentioning before about all these headlines and stuff. If you want to play that one for the listeners, do the screen share or whatever and play that one as well for the listeners.
Just getting
it's a good one. It goes for a couple of minutes, but it's worthwhile.
Okie dokie. Let's see what we can see. Short video of Disney perversion. Okay.
Britney Spears.
That's 4 minutes long, mate. So let's settle in, everybody, and we're going to get these audio things and everything sorted with the sharing of the screen, with the Skype audio preferences and settings. All these new things need to be done. All right, here we go.
I've got to sign up to that loop back. Yeah, I've thank you for putting me onto them too.
Britney Spears and several other big names were groomed to star in the new Mickey Mouse Club during a time the company was rife with pedophiles. Dozens of Disney employees have been arrested for child sex crimes, including top executives and directors, and in some cases, rehired by Disney to work with children after doing extremely short jail time for raping a child actor. Former Disney chairman and Democrat senator George Mitchell was identified as a pedophile who visited Epstein Island. And before that, Ghislaine Maxwell was doing photo ops for Disney's Save the Children. Several former child stars have claimed that the industry is crawling with pedophiles. We have already heard many of their stories. If we can look at the evidence and overcome our emotions, we can see what this is. Trauma-based mind control programs, such as MKUltra and Project Monarch, were revealed to the public via declassified documents in the 70s and again in the 90s, with several victims giving testimony before Congress. The basis of these programs is the routine infliction of severe trauma upon a child in order to force their mind into a dissociative state, allowing them to be controlled without awareness. Up until the age of 7, children live mostly in a hypnotic state of mind when their sense of reality is being written, which explains why they target children, specifically those that come from abusive households. Bryce Taylor and Kathy O'Brien have each described in their books how they were regularly brought to Disneyland and Disney World, where they would be tortured and raped while being programmed with Disney stories, as well as Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. This has been verified in CIA documents. O'Brien says she was tortured in a room beneath Disney World, which we know was designed by agents of the CIA, who were running this program at that time. Victims of these programs were sold into them by their abusive parents, a model we see today with parents pimping their children out to the entertainment industry. Britney's parents had her audition for Disney when she was 8 years old, where she was then brought into the industry, sent to New York City for training, and brought on the show 3 years later at age 11, where she was dressed and directed to perform like an adult. The art of mind control was known as far back as Plato's Allegory of the Cave, where people's belief systems were being created by illusions force-fed into their minds. Story. Our imagination has always been influenced by story. And if you can control the stories told to the public, you can control their imagination. Since the dawn of television, visual storytelling has been the most fundamental form of mind control in the modern world. Television, movies, videos. And since the beginning, we have been subjected to a long-term agenda of sexual subversion. As each generation is born, the stimuli becomes slightly more perverse. As the Mickey Mouse Club grew old, their young, impressionable audience grew to perceive them as highly successful, while flaunting sexual promiscuity and sexual assault. You can destroy a society by destroying its sexual morality. This is fundamental in any society based on the family. When our children are naturally in this theta brainwave state of hypnotic learning, they should be protected within the family and learn from them, organically. But the emerging global state, now being forced on us by multinational corporations and big banks, want to destroy this society. They want to mold our children, exploit them, and even castrate them. It is now being promoted in highly produced inspirational show tunes, and they draft laws to help facilitate all of this. A Republican senator who has produced such films as Breeding Farm, about women being kidnapped and forcibly bred for babies to be sold on the black market before they are fed to cannibals, is pushing a bill to fund film and television. This is the new normal. This is the inverted reality being programmed into our minds. Decades of traumatic abuse has demonstrably hurt Britney Spears. The human mind can only handle so much for so long. Britney is a tragic symptom of society's indifference. Because if enough of us really wanted to, we could change all of this right now.
Good video, eh?
Yeah, brother.
Cool. Hang on. Yep, there we are. Yep. Phenomenal, actually. It makes a lot of sense. But this is what we're referring to. Yeah, it's been going on for a long time. It's controlling the minds of the masses. This has not gone away. If anything, it's accelerated, Vinny, and we're seeing that a lot more now too. All you got to do is watch any kind of music video that's promoted by, the big channels and things now, and it's all about sex and depravity, and the language has been reduced to pathetic states, you know, and it's controlling the minds of the youth these days, you know. So that's what they say, yeah, focusing on the family and keeping your kids safe up into these ages, to be honest, as long as you can. We've got to protect these kids, mate.
Well, I was thinking about this just
you
today.
Can stop screen sharing too.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, mate. I was thinking about this. How do you prepare your children for the world without telling them about the infinite threats that are out there? I think we should be telling them about people in white vans and things like that.
I think so.
I mean, John Ansell was saying that you need to have it so simple that it can be explained to a child. Like, do you believe there are goodies and baddies, little girl? Well, yes, of course, there's goodies and baddies. Okay, now, a goodie looks like a goodie. A goodie does good things. But do baddies look like baddies? I mean, if I were a good baddie, ha ha ha, I would try to make myself look like a goodie, wouldn't I? You see?
It's trying to protect them from being so naive, because kids are naive. And you have to, I think you're right, we can't shield them from this stuff. We need to, we have to increase their awareness, even from a young age. We've got to, yeah, it needs to be, you have that protection from the mother and father. I mean, you've got a little one now. I'm sure you're going to be acting in the same way as the, as your young fella grows older and gets bigger and stronger and stuff. But you've got to protect their mind as well as their body, you know?
It's something I was kind of lamenting, is that parenting has become, I think, far less accepted over the years, right? There's a lot more people that are not having children. A lot more people who would prefer that they spend their entire life drinking, doing drugs, partying, and shagging. Like, and that's the point of their life. Like, that's what they accomplished. I was just sort of like thinking about it. It's like video games, you know, you get a high score here or there or whatever. It doesn't really matter. And I think a lot of that stuff in real life that people do, they're not having important conversations. They're not kind of triggering new ideas and things of that nature. They're just trying to ignore the fact that they have unresolved trauma by plastering themselves with pleasures of the flesh. That's basically what people are living like to a large degree, and it's only getting worse. And again, that video kind of brought up the concept of early age trauma, traumatize and brainwash while you're young, while you're in a hypnotic state. You can very much easily chart somebody's trajectory to be a completely different person if you get your hooks in early.
And that's, and they, that's the thing, they know this, that Disney knows this. This is why all of these things are subliminally implanted in this child's media. You know what I mean? Because they know they can reach them. They know they can start to break them. They can expose them to these sorts of things. They can start to hypersexualize. And before they know it, they've got another... It's a lot easier to prey upon these children that they've done this. They can more easily, more acceptable to the wills of the pedophile agenda, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
we're in the era of me now. It's all about me, you know. It's all about getting themselves out there on social media. And this is when they're in the, they reach the teenage era, you know. And it's all about, you know, putting themselves on these sexual websites, like OnlyFans and stuff, and getting absorbed by the free pornography that's out there for everyone to see. You know what I mean? It's, they're constantly exposed to this. Anyone, any child with a device, you know, is going to get onto these things. I mean, to this day, I've got my 17-year-old daughter who, and my 15-year-old son, who still have to ask me for permission to download apps on their phones. You know what I mean? They're not even, they're not allowed to have social media, all this sort of stuff. And then when we talk to other parents about this, like, really, you don't have social media? I'm seeing 3-year-olds are on Facebook and stuff. You know what I mean? And Instagram and TikTok and all this sort of bullshit. I'm like, just say no, you know. And my child's friends, she's still got heaps of friends. She's very popular. I'm like, you can call, you can go and visit, you can talk to all, any friend you want. You don't need to do that via a social media where you can then be preyed upon by other people. You know what I mean? So you've just got to take control as a parent and say no. And they've accepted it. They know. Although when you're 18, you make your own decisions, go for it. But until that day, I'm protecting you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing about responsible parenting. The key word, responsible. If you have the ability to respond, you have the responsibility to act. If you know it's a threat, keep it the hell away from your kids, you know? And a lot of people make excuses. They go, oh, but I'm tired. Oh, I just had to work and stuff like that. So I'll just flick on a Disney for them or whatever. And you got to feel for those people.
Plonk them down in front of a screen.
Yeah. And you got to feel for those people because they are going through a lot of trouble. It's like it takes a village to raise a child, they say, but we've become so fractured because of social media and entertainment, and our families live further away. We don't all live in the same town we used to and stuff like that. You know, it's a big world out there, and families are split apart. So the whole village of 187 odd people that people used to be confined in, that was your world. For most people throughout the entirety of history. And our brains haven't evolved past that, really. We're still stuck in the ability to only process a few close friends, some of your family, and maybe some people peripherally in your life. In terms of relationships that you can really process, that's how much you can do. Social media is basically trying to pour a bucket of information into a shot glass, and you're the shot glass.
Mm. Yeah. And well, the good thing is, though, and funny I mention it, but I am on, as an adult, I'm on social media, of course, but I have noticed a bit more of a trend happening where a lot of people are sharing videos of, oh, look, this is in the States I'm referring to. Oh, look, you know, we've gone and built, bought land, a big block of land, big properties, you know, and my family, my husband's family, his extended family, we're all, and they've all started to build homes and live in their own little communities on these big blocks of land. They can all rely on each other. They all teach each other skills. They all teach each other gardening and producing their own food. They all the kids all get along and play together. They do lots of good fun things together. You know, it's all about this joy and this community that they're all building and stuff. And I'm starting to see that actually coming about a little bit more, because people are starting to realize, they know that the modern society that we're in now, these, you know, shoebox houses, these apartments and this type of living, it's not only is it not really sustainable for healthy growth of families and stuff, but it's almost the antithesis, to be honest. You don't have community. You might live in a building with 1,000 other people, and I guarantee you people might know one or two faces, or might not even know, probably only know the person lives across the hall to them, you know what I mean? But they're exposed to all these people, but they don't know any of them. You know what I mean? People are like, you know, whereas I've got a good relationship with my neighbors who live next to me, you know, we help each other out. We donate my old hand-me-down kids from my clothes to their kids and, you know, all this sort of stuff. We teach each other things, you know. You build these relationships with them. And I'm in suburbia. I'm not on a big property or something. But if I was on a big property, I would be more than welcome to do that sort of stuff. I would love to have family move in and build a homestead and all that sort of stuff. I think that's... But I'm liking to see that there's a lot of people now focusing on this, and it's coming to the forefront a bit more, of being more acceptable once again. Not like they're all going out there and being Amish Vinny, you know what I mean? They want to have their modern lives and modern comforts, but they're within a community, and community is very important.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what I've been working on a little bit myself lately. I meet people buying out, you know, I'm Vinnie Eastwood, kind of thing, and they, you know, just going to Mitre 10 to get myself some bit of concrete, and somebody goes, "Oh my God, it's Vinnie Eastwood!" You know, that kind of thing. I feel like I'm like the Eminem of the New Zealand Truth Movement. You know, I can't even.
That's awesome, though. Anyway, go on.
Can't take a dump without somebody standing by the stall asking for my autograph. You know.
Can I take a sample, Vinny? Yeah.
And so, I take it upon myself to take their number and put them into my little truth gathering text thing. All right, they've all got a label on them as a company as truth. And so whenever I want to have a gig or go out and do something or whatever, I text my truth crew. All right. And we had, I think, maybe 26 people confirm for the last party we had here on the 13th of January. And it was just like, oh, man. And they were all cool people, you know, like listeners to my show and what have you, you know, the kind of people that you can sit down and actually have a conversation with. Imagine there's no dunces at your party. No alcoholics, you know, who ruin the place, you know, and that kind of thing. It's just like, cool, man. And all it takes is just opening your mouth, I think, really. Letting it known what you're thinking, you know, wear a t-shirt round with some kind of truth thing into it. When anybody bumps into you in your local area and they start talking to you about your shirt or whatever, and you figure out that they're on the same page, get their number, start your little text group, man, because you're going to want these little gatherings to happen, and you're going to want them to happen regularly, because you can't actually survive without social contact. We're a social animal, and all of the other people that you have to associate with out there are frickin' morons.
Yeah. And I've noticed that too, that a lot of good people in my member groups, like I mentioned earlier, I've got a Telegram group. So when people join up as a member and stuff, they can get the code to come in and join. And even if they stop being a member, they're still allowed to be in the group. I don't cancel them out of there and stuff because they build relationships with people. They talk, you know. But a lot of them, I've mentioned a couple, interviewed a couple of them on my show as well. And there's one chap who was in the Australian Defence Force. G'day to Mitchell. He's bought a property down south, and he's, you know, growing his own food. He's got like three daughters, you know. He's got the homestead going, you know. I'm like, oh, he constantly puts pictures up, and he, you know, shares information and stuff. But other members of our group do similar things as well, and we're sort of teaching each other stuff as well. We learn from each other, and it's wonderful. You, like you said, community, it's necessary. You can't grow. You can't sit there and isolate yourself because you're just going to go backwards, and I think it's very important for sure. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's where the depression and loneliness comes into it, and if you've gotten into the truth and you haven't experienced depression and loneliness, you're not doing it right, okay?
It's almost a badge of honor you've got to wear at one point, isn't it?
Yeah, like baby sick on your nice dress shirt.
Going to bed with the smell of rotten milk on you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The baby badge of honor. All right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we might start to wrap it up, mate, if that's all right with you. Sounds good. Well, mate, anything moving forward, what's happening this year for yourself, mate? Well, any plans, anything on the horizon, anything you're working on? Obviously, we've got the news, you know, you've got this weight lifted off your shoulders, which you shared with us earlier, and got a bit of background to that, which is wonderful. But what are you looking forward to in 2024 in the world of Vinnie Eastwood?
The world of Vinnie Eastwood is a magical place. I think... Phillips Scumbaggery and Doofbaggery as well. So what are we actually looking forward to? I don't know. Like, I've just got this positive sensation, and it was quintessential, because I will tell you about something that happened at the festival and see if everybody can, I don't know, if you're able to just sort of get on this wavelength with me while I'm doing this for you. Because this DJ Leia Luna, she did this killer set. And you know when a girl doesn't want to have, tells you that she doesn't want to have sex again, but you can tell that she really actually wants it, you know? No, I'm not going to play you another song, you know?
It was
like that. So we managed to get her to play three more songs after her set was finished. And last one, then the music comes down. And I started hearing these tones from these instruments that I didn't recognize. And she starts talking, and she starts getting us into this meditation state and breathing and all of this other kind of stuff. And after it was over, I was like, whoa. I turned to my mate Jackson and I go, what just happened to us? And I tried to describe it to him. And as I described it and finished, he was like, bro, that's exactly what happened to me too. So here's what happened. This was not her words or anything. This is just what we experienced. Mm-hmm. It was at the end of 2023 and right before midnight kind of thing. And this whirlpool opens up beside you, just sort of like strumming it with your hand sort of thing. And it's got this weight to it. And it's starting to pull in, it's starting to suck out of you all the negativity, all the anger, all the frustration, all the fear, all the loss, all the sadness. It's just sucking it out of you. And then on the other side of you, another whirlpool comes up, and Leia Luna fills it full of light and love and friendship and positivity and a great prospect for the new year. And then these two whirlpools came up into these two huge waves that crashed into each other and exploded into a million shimmering pieces of reflective mirror. And then it poofed into dust. And then you sucked it all in and released it. It was quite an extraordinary experience to have an artist do something like that. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Wow, yes. Sounds like she's really on board with resonant frequencies and her, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like, she really knows her stuff with regards to that. She's putting that sort of stuff together. Mm. She knows.
Yeah, it was the bomb, man. And ever since then, I've been feeling nothing but positivity and happiness and joy and stuff like that towards the future. Of course, I get frustrated and I get angry and all of these things, you know, still as you do, you know.
But it doesn't occupy you as much anymore.
Yeah, and I think I've got a couple of things on the burner that we're doing, possibly a tour with David Holden, my naturopath, who sponsored my show from HoldenHealthcare.com. He's bringing me in with Matt Bowden, who's the guy who created Party Pills here in New Zealand, and doing this big stage show with lights and CO2 cannons and beautiful graphics and stuff like that. A biohacking tour, you know, doing around New Zealand and Australia to start the leg off, and then if it is successful, then we'll be taking it to the States and England and what have you. So that's coming up. I'm very positive about that. Mate of mine's working on a film or something. He wants me to play a Jedi in it. So as you can see, my beard's getting a bit more scraggly because I'm growing it for the film. And
yeah, you got the Obi-Wan beard going on there. Yep.
Yeah. except I'm going to be more like a stoner Jedi, like Doobie One Kenobi.
Nice.
or it might be One Doobie Kenobi. I haven't actually.
You're talking to a massive Star Wars fan, so it's all good, mate.
It's just difficult to finalise the workshopping concept here. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to be magical. We're going to be working with lots of people. I'm going to be making music and performing. I'm going to be writing things. I'm going to be doing shows. I'm going to be hanging out with my boy and making him laugh and let him know that Daddy loves him and that he's safe. You know, all of those
awesome
good things that you really hope to get out of a great year, whilst we're still slaves to ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery who plan to subsequently exterminate us. You know, see, this is the bright side from the Vinnie Eastwood show that everybody needs to get on. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by ultra-intergenerational wealth family Satanists is Vinnie's jokes.
Oh, I love it. I love that intro. It's a good one. It's a good little way to end the show and bring in a show as well. Well, that sounds great. I hope it all, you can focus your mind and achieve all these things that you're going to... You've mentioned before, mate. I hope it all happens for you in 2024, and that's love and light to you and the missus and the young fella, mate. I hope you have a lot of fun with him. It's a good time when they're that age, mate. They love dad. They love dad. Lots of cuddles. Get lots of skin on skin contact with him, mate. Get him used to you. Get him used to your smells and everything as well. Even the bad ones, mate. They still love it.
All right. Yeah. I tested him this morning on that when I locked him in the bathroom with me. So that he wouldn't get up and disturb his poor mummy who's trying to sleep.
Well, funnily enough, I don't say that lightly with regards to the skin on skin and getting used to your smells and the way even the way you taste, as in like his open mouth on your body and places and stuff on your chest and getting that contact and feeling your heartbeat and cuddles, all that sort of stuff. It's very important. I used to work, when I worked in hotels, one of the customers that came in, he used to have a chat to me. I was working on the desk, and he was Dutch, and he was like a university professor, and he was a leader. He'd written all these books about this sort of stuff, about how important it is for fathers to, you know, raising kids and all this sort of stuff, and to maintain that from birth, you know what I mean, to have that. And he was telling me, he knew I had like a young son and young girl at the time too, so he was very big on telling me about this and stuff. He's like, yeah, it's so important, Lee, you need to get your boy, you know, it's important for the girl as well. He goes, very important for you, get your boy, you know, at night time, put him on your chest, you know, just bare chested, mate, let him have his nose, his mouth right on you and smelling you. And he goes, it works wonders. You build that trust, you build that closeness, and there's a lot of things that are being shared there with pheromones and all that sort of stuff. He goes, you have no idea how important it is. So when I say that before, I don't mean that lightly or jokingly. I mean that that's how important it is to create that special bond with you and your son as well. It on levels we cannot understand that it helps, mate. So, yeah, big time.
Mm-mm. All right. Yeah. I think that's
thanks
us,
again,
then.
Mate, for... yeah, it is. Thanks again for coming on for a chat. I know we had a bit of confusion about times and we made a few things. But, hey, look, what happened? We did it. We've got it under wraps. Well done.
Indeed.
Thanks again, mate, for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Cheers, brother.